Command number 109. Wash one another's feet. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. John 13:14. The ongoing debate between how literal one is to take the accounts and commands of the Bible is filled with pomposity, self-righteousness, and thorough inconsistency on all sides. Those of liberal bent tend to explain away the literality of the Garden of Eden, Noah's Ark, the sun stopping in the sky, the virgin birth, even in some cases the resurrection. They scoff at what they consider the unenlightened views of those who persist in believing the Bible a literal account. Yet these same free-thinking progressives will be the first to insist that we must absolutely take the command to feed the hungry and give to the poor literally when it suits their political agenda. Conservatives and evangelicals, with their insistence that the scriptures are literal and inerrant, are equally inconsistent. The televangelist who pompously asserts, "I'm a simple country preacher. I just take the word of God as it comes and believe what it says," is fooling no one but himself. How literally does he take the command to cut off hands and feet to prevent sin? How literally does he take Paul's words about circumcision of the heart? And how literally do most evangelicals in our day take the commands that women should keep their heads covered and not speak in church? Intriguingly, it is many Catholics who read the communion passages literally, while fundamentalists explain them away by preaching about the symbolic nature of the body and blood of Christ. The fact is, we are all literalists, and we all interpret the scriptures symbolically when it suits us. Everyone reads the Bible with a thorough mix of both literal and interpretive approaches. We have to. The Bible can be read no other way. No more interesting example of this dichotomy between the two ways of reading scripture exists than with a simple command Jesus gave his disciples in the upper room. Wash one another's feet. Obviously, this is a command with 10,000 applications of humble service and ministry to our kind. Washing another's feet has come to symbolize in Christian terminology any act of selfless service. Yet almost nowhere in Christendom, neither among liberals nor fundamentalists, is this command widely practiced literally. All Christians, it seems, agree that this particular command is to be read symbolically and interpretively. Curious, is it not? Jesus actually got down on his hands and knees and literally washed and dried his disciples' feet. Then he said, "I want you to do what I have done and follow my example." As I said, we are all literalists and we are all allegorists together. Therefore, we will all read this command and interpret it in our own ways. However, just maybe, Jesus occasionally means it to be taken more literally than has been our custom. The following is an excerpt from Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline, page 114. "Nothing disciplines the inordinate desires of the flesh like service, and nothing transforms the desires of the flesh like serving in hiddenness. The flesh whines against service, but screams against hidden service. It strains and pulls for honor and recognition. It will devise subtle, religiously acceptable means to call attention to the services rendered. If we stoutly refuse to give in to this lust of the flesh, we crucify it. Every time we crucify the flesh, we crucify our pride and arrogance. God, bring to my remembrance this day the command of Jesus to wash one another's feet. Give me opportunities to wash the feet of my brethren in Christ, figuratively, but perhaps not only figuratively. Thus, Heavenly Father, by the humility of my bent-knee servanthood, May I be an instrument in my small corner of the world for the ultimate salvation of mankind. Amen. From the Commands by Michael Phillips. Read by Michael Kimball. More information on this and similar writings may be found at fatherofthenklings.com. Visit Amazon to purchase the Commands and other books by Michael Phillips.